I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. We turn to the streets of Beijing, Shanghai, Wuhan, the other large cities in China right now because of COVID or something near to COVID, perhaps Omicron. Gordon, a very, very big mystery. I'm seeing at CNN a video of the empty streets of Beijing. This video is several days past. What is happening in Beijing and the other large cities about COVID right now, toward the best of our knowledge?
To the best of our knowledge, people are starting to go back into the streets of Beijing, though they're still relatively deserted. But the hospitals are packed out, and we're seeing the disease moving to other cities very fast, and even to rural areas. So the whole country is stricken, and we're going to see this waves and waves. So a Beijinger should expect another wave of COVID before this winter is over.
We welcome our colleague Charles Burton, a senior fellow at the Center for Advancing Canada's Interests Abroad at the Macdonald Laurier Institute. Charles, what we're witnessing now is a phenomenon that we've lived through these last years. The virus, as it changes, as it moves through its various iterations, is opportunistic and strikes all ages with different results, but all ages, and strikes again, whether you have the excellent vaccines available, Moderna and Pfizer, or whether you have the very poor vaccines. It goes right through some of those vaccines. And the remedies treated afterwards can be successful. However, China was not prepared for this, or is this a revelation that the COVID zero policies were never about the disease, were only about control? How to read this sudden change, dropping COVID zero, and then the empty streets? Good evening to you, Charles.
Good evening. Well, I do think that you have a good point there, that the default position for the Chinese Communist Party is, of course, to impose government control. And the COVID zero policies were about extreme control, you know, imprisoning people, large proportions of the population in their apartments for weeks at a time. That's certainly a very controlling thing to do. But now we have a spread of the disease throughout the country, and Chinese New Year is coming up on January 22nd, and we can expect a lot of travel from the urban areas into the rural areas, and this could be bringing the disease with them. And of course, in the rural areas, they're even less prepared with medical facilities to address a massive outbreak of Omicron. And there's also the possibility that, you know, and that we could see more mutations that could end up coming our way. You know, what happens in China does not stay in China. And so it's a grave situation, anticipating massive amounts of death and huge amounts of disease. And I think for the Chinese people, they wonder, you know, why did they have 3 years of this extreme zero COVID policy? What about the Chinese government's claims that the Chinese communist autocratic one-party dictatorial system under a strongman can address an outbreak of a virus more effectively than the United States and the West? And what will be the upshot of this when this thing finally settles down for the current political leadership of China, indeed for the Chinese Communist Party itself? I mean, this is no small thing. And, you know, I just pray for the people of China that we won't see massive unnecessary deaths that's been engendered by a defective and repressive policy.
Gordon, you have a question for Charles.
Charles, the projections are 1 million deaths this winter, maybe 2 million. Projections are 800 million infections, perhaps 1.1 billion infections. This seems to be a crisis like no other for the regime, because I think the Chinese people are starting to see that this was bad, the result of bad policy, especially when they see the rest of the world recovering. That's got to be very difficult for the regime to answer when they see other places are perfectly normal.
Yes, and I think the, you know, the hypocrisy of the policy, the fact that the Chinese government in many places is requiring people to come in to work, even if they're ill, wearing a mask, whereas just a few short weeks ago, that would have been something that would have got you in prison. So, you know, the idea that the government that previously had used COVID as an excuse to engage in extreme repressive measures is now essentially washing their hands of it and allowing people to get sick who are going to get sick and allowing people to die who are going to die to simply get through the coronavirus and get China back into the kind of stasis that we're seeing in the rest of the world really says a lot about that government and that relationship with ordinary people. And of course, the Chinese government continues to refuse to import the more effective mRNA vaccines. And I imagine that message will probably penetrate through to people before long. And the propaganda, which, you know, continues to insist that the current strains of COVID are not that serious. They talk about it as sort of a coronavirus cold. And insisting that the numbers of infected and the numbers of death are extremely low further debases the credibility of the regime in the eyes of the people, who can see that that is just so evidently false.
What is the explanation for these deceptions? No deaths today. Who's driving that? Is that the national level giving out the order to the Communist Party bosses, report no deaths? Or is this the sum total of the local people knowing that they can put out bad information and not be punished for it? Can you tell, Charles?
I think there are a lot of factors here. I mean, for one thing, of course, they're not testing people anymore. You know, the note went out apparently to a neighborhood in Beijing where they told people to no longer report their coughs and fevers and thanking them for their 3 years of cooperation and understanding. So basically they're telling them you're on your own. And they're closing down the testing centers. And I think on the other hand, it's, you know, it's part of the general tendency in China to pretend that nothing is wrong. So as soon as you see a headline in China that says Uyghurs very content with Chinese government rule of Xinjiang, you know that there are problems there. And so their default position is to pretend that things that reflect badly on the regime don't exist and to not allow anybody to suggest otherwise. But, you know, the reality of the thing is that, as Gordon points out, an enormous proportion of the Chinese population has become ill with COVID, some of them mildly and some of them really quite seriously. And a lot of people, you know, in maybe a small proportion of those who are infected, but multiplied by the size of the population, a very large number of people are dying miserable deaths in inadequate facilities.
Gordon, I remember in the early days when we first learned of the pandemic, it was in Wuhan, and there were videos randomly provided. I never knew where they came from. Of hospitals overwhelmed with people lying on tables or under chairs or stacked up, not able to get in. Do we believe that that image is happening now, Gordon?
It's certainly, because we're seeing those images from hospitals all over the country. And the most recent ones, John, are hospital corridors packed with corpses lying on the floor. As Charles said, this is a grave situation.
So, Charles, you can't deceive about a body on the floor of your emergency ward. There's no deception there. The person is dead. The family is mourning. Those statistics are just not bothered to be passed on to Beijing?
Well, I mean, I think certainly lower-level officials never want to admit that there's anything going wrong in their area or to suggest there was anything wrong with the zero COVID policy. So, you know, at the lower levels, they're not reporting the truth to the higher levels. Everybody knows that. Because if they do, the lower-level officials will be blamed for it, even though it's really the problem of centrally ordained policy. But certainly the large numbers of people flooding the roads heading into crematoria, the lack of hearses to bring in the remains of the people who've died, so people are bringing them in their personal vehicles, the mass chaos over death and disease in the hospitals and associated facilities really does send out a very, very clear message to people that what the officials are saying and what the news is saying is just blatantly false. And I think because this involves disease and death, it's not something that people are going to forget anytime soon. And I think the regime will be facing the consequences once the COVID waves have all passed. Right now, I don't think people are going to be heading out into the streets to protest because they don't want to get in a situation where they could have these mass spreader events. But once things calm down and there's been some time for reflection, I think it's going to be very hard for Xi Jinping to give any credible explanation that won't severely damage his charisma as the emperor for life, as he's regrettably appointed himself.
Charles Burton is a senior fellow at the Center for Advancing Canada's Interests Abroad at the Macdonald Laurier Institute. Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang. We're going to turn to the year in China, what we've learned about the People's Republic of China's conduct.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.